Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And so at the end of the last segment, we got to the point where it's like, okay, we talked about hors d'oeuvres and how to organize hors d'oeuvres. And you got into the planning intelligently, just the right number of hot dishes to do. Cold food, room temperature food, much easier, obviously, to manage, depending upon your refrigerator space. I think that's the other thing that people, they will have a, big aspirations. You have to think through, how can you store things? Do you have space in your refrigeration to store things?
Well, and I'm also concerned that people won't have a party because they think it's too much. And I think it's a wonderful thing to entertain in your home. You know, it is the place that you've worked hard to make a special place for you and your family. So you feel good about entertaining and sharing that space and bringing people into it, old friends and new friends and family and new family. So I think that trying to not make the process be daunting. I mean, if you're a great cook, go for it. Do what you can do. Do your best, you know. But if you're someone that doesn't cook a lot, you know, that's when the simpler dishes are just, you know, using great, wholesome, great ingredients and making something, you know, making potato puree, you know, making rice that if that's something that you enjoy, or potato gratin.
And do something that you're good at.
Right.
And or maybe have practiced a little bit.
Exactly. Never try something, you know, that's just common sense and it's been said a million times. Never do something new for your party. Always try it out ahead of time. And,
I think people want the excuse to do it.
Well, then do it Sunday before or the Friday night before, the week before, and practice on, you know, your family and get yourself comfortable with it. But, there are different spaces that you can use. Let's say you have an outdoor grill. I mean, unless it's like 32 degrees outside or something, I mean, if it's not too cold out or not too hot out, you know, utilize your grill for maybe your main entree. Use your stove, use your ovens. If you do have the money to have a separate refrigerator in your basement, in your garage, it's always nice to have that. I mean, it's huge, actually,
so
to have that second.
Out.
Yeah, the second refrigerator makes a huge difference. I have a commercial refrigerator, and I was lucky enough that the people that I bought my house from left a home refrigerator down in my basement. So I have two refrigerators. And the nice thing about the commercial refrigerator is it's sheet pan capable, which means, you know, I can lay things out on full sheet pans and put them on, you know, eight different slots.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And then I have, it's a tall boy. So it has a top and a bottom, and I can chill my wine in the top, you know, put my hors d'oeuvres and, you know, things on my sheet pans in the bottom. And then I have this whole other refrigerator downstairs that I can put all my other stuff in. So as you said, you stage it. And then I have my refrigerator upstairs that I'm constantly working out of. And again, I'm lucky in my house, my basement is below my kitchen. So literally my steps go right down from my kitchen. So super convenient. Maybe your garage is right off your kitchen. You know, I mean, my mother used to always use her garage. She would have a card table out there. And, you know, well, I grew up part of my life in northern Indiana, so in the wintertime it was extremely cold in our garage. It was probably colder than the refrigerator.
The biggest second refrigerator you
could
have.
Oh my gosh. And yeah. That was the thing. In the wintertime, she would put stuff out on the back steps, you know, when she was having a party or out in the garage. So, I mean, there are a lot of spaces, hopefully, that you can use for this one event to really help yourself out. But yeah, thinking in terms of cooking and using that stovetop, using your ovens, hopefully using a grill outside, and, you know, maybe you have a crock pot, or maybe you have a microwave that you use and are used to working in, and that, you know, you can certainly heat up things in a microwave. I wouldn't cook anything in there, but those, I would use all those things to my advantage. And the other thing is, you know, you talk about the La Plancha, or doing tapa items, and the La Plancha is such a great surface. It's just a griddle,
a very heavy griddle.
Right. And you can buy, and I'll just say a brand, it's Alclad, and I'm sure there are other brands that have them, but they're usually two-handled, and it gives you this thing that you can put over two burners and just use like a big saute pan, and those are great for parties.
It'll also work over top of a grill a lot of times.
Right, right.
And that's something, right. That's something that can be done to pretty good effect.
Well, and those are nice if you're doing a brunch party. You know, if you're making pancakes or French toast for a lot of people, to knock out two of those on your stove, oh my goodness, that's going to make a huge difference to you, because you're literally breaching the surface between the two burners. So you're making use of a space that wasn't usable before.
So let's talk about a realistic home menu for a dinner party, let's say, for a dozen people, where someone has a nice range and one oven. and limited refrigeration. So we're talking about, say, three hors d'oeuvres that...
All right, well, you do the hors d'oeuvres since you're the hors d'oeuvre man. Uh-huh. You go first.
two are hot, one is cold.
Okay.
And something set out as a big piece, say, on a coffee table or some, or on a mm-hmm. sideboard or something like that. And then let's talk about simply first course, main course, and dessert for it, mm-hmm. with relatively restricted, because you and I both have tricked out home kitchens a little bit to give us a little bit of an advantage, and because you want to entertain for 40 people once in a while, or I do, or 60 people for Katie, my luau.
Yeah, in the end, my kitchen really isn't. I have a 5-burner stove. My center burner is a high heat burner. That's the only thing that sets my stove apart probably from other people's. And I have 2 very small ovens. I have a La Cornue Cornuffée stove, and it is a beautiful piece of equipment, and it works really, really, really well. I love it. But I made the choice because I wanted to have 2 separate ovens. I can't even put a half sheet pan in there. So if I'm going to cook something for a large group, I have to break it down and it has to, you know, go into these small ovens. So it's almost like I do have the kind of house that most people do.
A little more limited.
Yeah, the only other thing I have going on that may be different is that I have built a fireplace in my kitchen and I plan on cooking in it. So I'm going to be grilling in there, and I'm definitely going to have a pot in there where I can heat up a soup or make polenta.
Maybe a cauldron.
Well, we're not going to call it that. A cast iron pot? Yes, you got it.
So
hors d'oeuvres.
But honestly, I'd always work from the hardest thing to get out correctly and hot is going to be main course. That has to be your priority. I think you have to build that menu with, how do I achieve this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's...
Well, my main course is going to be roasted chicken, because I know everybody can do that. And a beautiful roasted chicken is a dream. It can be great, great cooking.
Everyone can do that if you put the care and the work in. So.
Right, right. And my roast chicken, because I'm going to do a roast, is going to have most of my vegetables in that pan. So, and those vegetables are going to be so great because of the flavor from the chicken.
Because you can baste them with the fat from mm-hmm. the chicken and the mm-hmm. juice from the chicken
so
as
it
cooks.
If that's my last course, and you said 2 courses ahead of that?
So you have, say it's 10 people, so what do you need, 3 chickens?
Mm-hmm.
So
3 chickens, and I'm going to, you know, roast those with butter under the skin. It's going to have beautiful pieces of carrot and celery and onion. I will put golden beets in there as well, small golden beets, and roast. I will have to pre-roast those beets because beets take forever in salt, covered with foil. So I'll have them pre-roasted, and then I'll just put them in the pan, and they can continue to cook in with all those vegetables. I'll have chicken stock so that I can deglaze that pan and make a quick sauce as well. And I would also, because my ovens are going to be full now, I'm going to make rice. So I would serve that with saffron basmati rice, because those flavors are all going to be really beautiful together. And then I have my entree. So I need a course before that. I'm going to do...
So the basmati rice is going to require 1 burner on the stove.
Exactly. Just 1 burner. And once I make my rice, I have to drain it. I can go right back into that pot and let it sit with a little bit of butter on it.
So your oven is occupied, except maybe you could sneak a cookie sheet or something in there.
Yeah. For bread, maybe.
To warm up an hors d'oeuvre or serve a bread that doesn't require being heated up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. Could True. Just be French baguette that's
sure.
super fresh and
mm-hmm.
and sliced and
have to have bread.
Done.
Right.
So you have room to heat up 1 hors d'oeuvre at a time, maybe on a cookie sheet, if you wanted hot hors d'oeuvres coming out of the oven. So first course, before that, you don't need a starchy first course because you have the rice with the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want something hot? Do you want something cold?
I want to do something hot, and I think I'd like to do scallops. Because that's not something I've ever done in my house for a party. And I think that would be a nice starter course.
A million people think you don't want to serve fish at home because then your house is going to smell like fish. If you don't have really good ventilation, your house is going to smell like whatever you're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever food you just had delivered. Or
right, you're right.
You know, I mean, that
even with good ventilation, your house still is, it's going to billow out.
That's kind of the nature of it.
Yeah, never burn something when you're having a party. It's going to ruin the smell of your house.
So scallops is the first course, so that's a very, a la minute.
Mm-hmm.
You need, for 10 people, what do you need? Probably 3 pans?
Yes.
To cook maybe 2 decent-sized scallops a person or something like that mm-hmm. as a first course. And you're just searing them in the pan.
I am. And
on each side.
I'm going to wilt baby spinach, have lardons in the pan with that spinach, and I'm going to have lemon juice ready to go and extra virgin olive oil. I'm just going to do a quick sauce with the lemon extra virgin, have the saute of the spinach and the bacon. So I'm in another pan. That's one pan that can handle all of that.
So one pan for the garnish and three for the scallops. So that's your five burners.
Mm-hmm.
with the rice going on the fifth.
Right.
So,
well, my rice technically can be made and all I have to do is heat it up. If I can make the rice ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to have a pot on right now for that rice.
When the scallops are done, you're making sauce in the pan, right?
For the
chicken. So
right, the scallops are going to be so quick. And there's no prep involved with a scallop except for removing that little piece on the side. So it's a great thing to cook at home. Large sea scallops.
You just need to have big enough pans with heavy bottoms,
mm-hmm.
and not enough fat in the pan to fry them, but at least coat the bottom of the pan really well once the pan is already pretty hot, not smoking hot, but pretty hot.
Brown the scallops on both sides, cook them to medium rare, pull them out of the pan, put them on the plates, quickly saute the baby spinach in your other pan with the lardon that you pre-made, which is like small cubed pieces of bacon that you've already cooked off. And you could reserve a little bit of that bacon fat if you want to, or you could use olive oil, or you could use butter to saute the spinach, either way. And quickly wilt the spinach. I mean, literally, it takes like 30 seconds to wilt baby spinach. And your lardon would go in the pan first with your chosen fat, work that, add the spinach, toss, and then drain it. It's going right onto the plate. And then I would just drizzle the lemon juice and extra virgin olive oil. And, you could add a little bit of chive to the plate, or you could add a little chervil, something else to make it aromatic.
So you need hors d'oeuvres that don't use anything but one sheet pan going into the oven.
So something's going to be cold. Two things might be cold, which is fine. I love
both
doing
your first
tartar.
Course and
main courses. Yeah, or ceviche. Tartar or ceviche. I mean, that's a nice, bright, fresh hors d'oeuvre. You know, it feels good in your mouth because it's cold and it's acidic and, it's not going to fill you up.
You can use a vegetable hors d'oeuvre for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty darn easy one where you pickling beets that are cut up very, very fine in a brunoise,
mm-hmm.
Sprinkled into Belgian endive with a little bit of goat's cheese and extra virgin olive oil or a little bit of walnut oil and crushed walnuts. Is a great easy hors d'oeuvre, especially if you're.
And that can be laid out.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you can
maybe
do.
Use golden beets in that instead of the red, because the red's gonna, if you try to
it's
do
gonna
that,
bleed.
It's gonna bleed into everything, and it's also gonna be on your hands. You're gonna get crazy.
You're gonna have red hands when you shake hands with all your guests.
Hello, yes.
But that's an easy cold vegetable that can sit out for a few moments. Laying out something, I'm thinking, because you have scallops and you have. You don't want a seafood that's similar to that out, but maybe a little smoked seafood, maybe smoked trout or something like that would be a cold hors d'oeuvre that's rich that could be laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the smoked trout with remoulade sauce would be nice to have, and toasts that you can build little canapes for yourself as a guest. And like you said, something that engages them and they can entertain themselves, and it's not super expensive.
Well, we traditionally serve cheese after the meal, but I think that there's some cheeses it's kind of fun to have out for hors d'oeuvre time.
Simple table cheeses.
Right, yeah. And that's nice too, whether or not you're able to maybe have some cut or have, again, the piece of cheese, but some of it started for the guests so they're not so scared to approach it. But I have noticed that if you have cut cheese, people will eat it, and if they have to go cut it themselves, they will eat less of it.
As a hot hors d'oeuvre, you could have the palmiers we were talking about with the mm-hmm. tapenade. That's a totally different set of flavors. And that's something built more on bitter and salt, and that's two of those hors d'oeuvres are a little bit built on bitter. So the wine you have for hors d'oeuvre time, you want to have something that's a little bit sweet. It could be champagne, but honestly, the first thing that comes to my mind is Vouvray.
Mm-hmm.
You cook so many things. Most of the menu is you and is in a French style. Vouvray, you can go from relatively inexpensive to pretty expensive. And the wines are a little bit off dry, have very good acidity, and are great cocktail time wines. And the sparkling Vouvray as well. Mm. There's a producer named Foreau who is brilliant, Foreau.
Okay.
And both in dry and sweeter styles of Vouvray, as well as a sparkling, if you can find it. But they're inexpensive ones that are quite nice. And 12 is a strong vintage in Vouvray as well. But that might be nice to start out with. To have with your scallops, you could segue into the scallops with that. Spinach is a hard match. You want something a little bit sweet and with good acid, because the spinach is a little bit of a hard thing. The scallops want something fruity. If you wanted to change wines, maybe one from Macon, something Vire Clessé or something, and that's not a fortune. I mean, you really could do it with a bottle under 20 of Vouvray, a bottle under 20 from a good producer in Macon, and again, 12 you have a strong year down there. And that'll be in a lot of the stores. And for the main course, for the roast chicken, especially classically produced like you were talking about with the rice, you're talking about saffron with the rice?
Yes.
That changes it a little bit, but I still, Beaujolais, especially cru Beaujolais, and we're in the time of the year for Beaujolais for sure, from one of the villages like Morgan or Chirouble or Bouilly, one of those guys, very juicy, gutsy, alcohol's not too high. That's very reasonable. And you can find those things from excellent producers, 25 and less. So you've got a pretty good little budget situation for sophisticated French wines to carry through. We've got to wrap up and give them dessert with the dinner party.
Okay.
So what did you make for dessert?
Favorite dessert to make at home is sabayon.
So you made that before you got on the range?
Right.
With dinner.
So it's egg yolks whisked with sugar and either traditionally marsala or I like to use Madeira. And so if it is a time of the year where you can get strawberries or raspberries, it's a beautiful dessert and very, very easy. If you can't get fruit like that, I would probably make a flourless chocolate cake because that is one of my favorite desserts and that's easily made early in the day and can be really beautiful with a pistachio creme anglaise or with ice cream if you like to make ice cream at home. So that's what I would serve.
I was thinking sabayon, I was thinking about it. My wife has from her grandmother a bunch of these funny little antique cocktail glasses that I would love to put like roasted strawberries from last spring or whatever in those cups, mm-hmm. and put the warm sabayon on top of that. That would be fantastic.
Okay.
So, and maybe a sweet bouvray to finish out.
There you go.
And you ended up with a pretty sophisticated, pretty French menu and at a pretty good price.
There you go.
With one range, one oven.
That's an achievement.
That is an achievement for us, yeah. We're not the most reasonable on those things. Well, that's all we have time for today on Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. Go have a party.